Then, all right, let's begin, and let's begin with this. Repeat after me, Merry Christmas. All right, that was a good hearty one. As we begin today, we have a high view of God and a high view of Scripture. If you would grab Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, that's where we're going to begin today. And I'm going to begin first by telling you this wonderful story of my own embarrassment. So we went to Jason's Deli after church. This is years ago. Love Jason's Deli. Plug that in wherever I can. I would love for one to come back to the Springs. Anyways, we'd put all these tables together after church and all these people would gather and it'd be a fun time. We did that and I went to go use the restroom and there's a football game on the TV. So naturally, I'm just glued watching the TV all the way and then I get to the hallway and I walk up and I hit the door and in the time of the door swinging open, I froze because there was just something wrong. I remember just going, that's a lot of stalls in a men's restroom because it was not the men's restroom. And when the door swung back because I froze, thank God there's nobody in it. And there's no one there to witness it, I don't think. But anyways, the door swung back and I blocked the door from hitting me in the face. And there's the outline of a girl in a skirt right there kind of thing. It was so embarrassing. It was just this embarrassing thing. I backed up when the guys and went and told my wife, ooh, what's the daisy kind of thing. And it's just this embarrassing moment where it was just a very plainly obvious thing. I am not where I belong. And as we dive in today in Luke 2, there's these guys, these characters, and you're like, do they really belong in this story right here? Like we're reading it 2,000 and change years after, but even them in that day, like, I'm sure they're like, whoa, this seems a little funny because do they even belong in this story? So today, again, we want to gain a better understanding of what it was like that first Christmas, but also what are the implications? What does it mean to us if the shepherds truly were invited in? What does that mean to us today? So we're going to begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Whenever I was a kid, we'd do the Christmas pageant, and it seemed like I didn't want any speaking part. Just stick me in the back. I've always been stage fright, and it was a very hard thing for me. And so I would always want to be a shepherd, and I was a shepherd for years and years and years. And I loved it because I got to put the beard on. As a kid with the beard, hey, I could still use some help today for the beard part. But anyways, I would put the beard on. I just thought it was the coolest thing, and you'd get to hold the little shepherd's staff. And what I kind of forgot was that shepherds aren't just predominantly these older guys. There's a really great artist that did this. Shepherds were a mix. Remember, where was David whenever Saul came to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel? David was out in the field with the sheep. And so the shepherds was most likely a mixture of maybe some men, but probably some young boys. Because it was the lowest man on the totem pole kind of job. You didn't want it. That was a terrible job. If you were a shepherd, what was it going to be like? Well, let's talk about the sorry status of the shepherd. You were out there day and night, in winter and summer and hot and cold and snow and rain, whatever it may have been. And no matter what, you smelled like sheep. This is before Axe body spray. These guys were stink, stank, stunk. If we could use some Grinch, you know, quotes all of a sudden. That is nomadic by nature. You're constantly on the move. We'll get there in a moment. But it says the shepherds were living. It doesn't say that they were just moving about. They were living out in their fields. So if you're a young guy, young shepherd, and you're trying to woo some gal, hey, you look really great. You got a wonderful personality. And whatever it is that you're saying, and you're trying to get to know this gal, hey, would you like to be on the go all the time? Like, is that really a good line for girls to say, oh, yeah, I'm ready to leave the family, go jump in with this occupation? So it was not a good thing. It was a tough thing. Beyond that, it was a really hard life. You were also not allowed to worship. So as all of Israel, as all the communities and all the people, all the villages come to worship, they would say, no, 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 no. Not you, Mr. Shepherd guy. You're not allowed to worship with us because you are unclean. So you're not allowed to worship, but even further, you're not allowed to give a testimony in court. Shepherds were considered so untrustworthy They were made fun of. They were despised. They were resented. They were looked down upon. They were the ultimate outsiders. And it's not just for the Jewish community. It was for many communities. Whenever we turn to Genesis 46:34, it says, "For all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians." So it's not just a Jewish thing. Shepherds were untrustworthy and despised by locals and by the outsiders. So again, it was a terribly difficult job. And all of a sudden one night, out of the blue, or out of the dark, what began as a silent night turns into the most incredible holy night in history. Which brings us to our first point. Number one, God lovingly decides to share good news with the nobodies of the world. Because that's who they were. They were the nobodies. Again, starting in verse 8, "And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them." Think about it. Have you ever seen an angel? Has anyone, like, I'm kind of married to one, so I'll say that. If you want to share that with a really cute blonde that works over with the kids. Anyways, but I've never seen one, never witnessed one. How many people in the entire Bible have seen an angel? Usually you're like, those are worthy enough characters. Those are good enough guys or girls. And you go, these guys? There's been 400 years of silence. God has not provided a prophecy. No prophet has spoke out for God in the last 400 years. And all of a sudden, these dudes, these fellas get this incredible opportunity of a lifetime, of all lifetimes. And this angel that says, it appeared among them in the night. It's shining, it's glorious. James Cameron and Avatar couldn't recreate this. It's absolutely incredible. But you know, one of the things I can relate to shepherds is that there's times in my life, and I don't know about yours, but it just feels like sometimes God's silent. I have these times where I pray. It feels like, hey, God, I didn't get an answer on that. But that we go through life and a struggle, a difficulty, something with a kid or a prayer request, a hurt, whatever it may be, a relationship thing. And you're going, hey, God, where are you? And the shepherds are that incredible reminder where God said, no, I'm always here. I'm always the one that's coming in. You may not always see the evidence of it, but I'm always available. And I'm the one. For all the nobodies, for all the ones that feel stiff-armed, I'm the one that is always in pursuit of you. Oh, it's such a great message. And so this angel appears. What's an angel? It's God's herald, his messenger, his ambassador to proclaim the things of God. And it says this, "And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." That word terrified is what we have in English, but in the Greek it says, they feared with great fear. Now that's a really cool sentence. That's really good. They feared with great fear because they don't have the right words for it. Now, I've had some moments of where I've been terrified in my life. I'm going to share two quick ones. Number one, we were married for however many years, and Bethany heard a noise downstairs. And whenever your wife hears a noise downstairs, you don't go, well, go check it out, honey. So next thing I find is that I'm trying to sneak down the stairs, and we did not have any stair that did not creak. Like, rink, rink, every one of them. And I'm thinking, no matter what, whoever's in our house, whatever burglar's in here, they totally heard me coming. And so I remember I had grabbed something on the way, and I think it was a spatula. Real great weapon of choice, but it's all I had. So anyways, I had this spatula and I'm going down and I'm like, what's the best thing I can do? And I was like, oh, I got it. I'm going to turn the light on and then I'm just going to jump out and make this really loud noise and scare whoever it is. And then they'll just go, you know, skedaddling out the door. And there was nobody there. But anyway, I didn't know it at the moment. So anyways, I go up. And I turn the light on and I jump out, and right when I'm going to do my real manly grunting roar, I saw my reflection in a sliding glass door, and it scared the living daylights out of myself. I saw my own reflection and I screamed like a girl. Then I have to go back upstairs and tell my wife what that noise was. It was a burglar that screamed. It was someone else. It was awful. It's a horrible moment. But I'm not good in the dark. Whenever it's the dark, it's funny. It's just better in the light. And so one day, this was about a year and a half ago, I was running and it was dark 30. It's super early in the morning. If I wake up early, I just get up. I'd rather be productive than just sitting trying to fall asleep again. It's like a 2-hour wait every time. So anyways, it's like 3:30 in the morning and I go running. And we had all these wooded areas around us, had this lake down the street. It was awesome. And so I went running, and one of the guys at our church, he had heard that I've been, our area, very southwestern part of Kansas City, the southwest of the burbs of KC, and love that spot. Anyways, he said, "You better be careful. Did you know there's mountain lions out there?" And I'm like, "Kansas City, mountain lions? Like, okay, maybe here, Colorado, maybe there's more likelihood of mountain lions." But I was like, "Oh, come on." And so one day, he sends me a photo of a black panther. It could have been the Marvel Black Panther, but all of a sudden, that creeped into my mind as I'm running at 3:30 in the morning, and I'm about 2 miles into it, and I thought, I could get mauled by a lion. I better do something. So the genius of me kicks in. I'm really proud of this. And I just thought, I'll start clapping while I'm running to scare away the mountain lions. And I'll make a grunting sound so that it will scare them. If they don't hear the clap, then they'll hear the grunt. They'll be like, "Oh, that's an even bigger predator." And so as I'm running and I'm clapping every once in a while. And I couldn't make a really manly noise. It was awful. The only thing I could get out as I'm running, yep. And that's all that I could get out. I was really tired. I was really gassed. And I get in the spot and I got scared really bad because as I'm running, a light turns on. And I wasn't in the wooded area anymore. I was in the housing section. And I was waking these people up with my stupid yips and my idiotic claps. But the light came on and it scared me. I was like, "Oh," I thought someone was out to get me. I get scared of the dumbest things. It's so weird how that happens. So again, so you just got to think about it. If it's in the middle of the night, you're used to the noises you hear. You're used to the shadows and things that you see. You're ready for anything, but it's one of the few moments of history of where an angel appears. It's not in broad daylight. It's in nighttime. And the first thing that we see is that they're petrified. They're scared. And the first words we see, instead of this angel with his wonderful proclamation, the first thing is kind of like a, hey, calm down, Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Just calm down. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The first words from an angel, it could be anything. And it's, whoa, don't be afraid. And man, I love to hear that. 365 moments in the Bible where it says, "Do not be afraid." We need reminded of that every day. Now, does God desire a holy, righteous awe of him? Absolutely. But God does not want us in a position where we think that God's hiding, lurking in the shadows, and he's out to get us, out to punish us. He says, no. Just like the shepherds, I created you. And no matter how far you feel that you are, no matter what that distance is, I am in hot pursuit of your heart. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so good. And so he continues, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." You get to put your name right there. It's not just, "Hey, shepherds, this is good news for you. Hey, Israel, it's good news for you." No, it's good news for all of us. The good news that God became flesh. He put on skin. He came to be our sacrifice. He came because he loves us. How incredible is that? And when's the last time a shepherd heard good news? "Hey guys, I just want to interrupt what you're doing. I know you're outsiders and all, but I just want to share this really good news that is for you." When's the last time that happened for them? In 2025, what about you? What's the last good news that you heard? When's the last time, maybe it's a promotion, maybe your family has expanded, someone married in, you had a kid, you had a great celebration. There's a lot of good news moments out there. But this isn't for all the good people in this moment. This is good news for these shepherds. This is good news for the anybodies. This is good news for the nobodies. This is good news for the person that's riddled with regret, for the person that's suffering with shame and guilt, and that you're haunted by the hurts, habits, hangups of the past, or maybe it's the hurt, habit, hangup of today. For those that have made terrible mistakes, for those that feel like outcasts, he says, I came for you. It's good news for all people. The good news is that Jesus came to do something about all that junk, about all that worry, all that fear, all the failure, all the sin in our lives. The good news is Jesus came to take care of that incredible problem of the separation of God and man. And he said, I'm going to be the bridge. I'm going to take care of it. You don't have to save yourself. I came to be your rescuer, your savior. The good news is Jesus is here to forgive all the nobodies to make way to heaven for all of us. So that's point number one. Point number two, Jesus dumpster dives to give us peace. And when I say dumpster dives, please know I mean that in a very respectful way. We'll get there in just a moment. He dumpster dives to give us peace. Starting in verse 13, it says this. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appear. It goes from one angel to multitudes, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. What's that song, the first Noel, the angel did say. This is it. This is that moment. And it goes from one solo angel to this myriad of angels in heaven invades earth in this moment to come and worship Jesus. The ones that get to witness, not just earthly worship, the ones that come to witness or get this incredible opportunity of seeing not earthly, but just angelic heavenly worship are those who were not even allowed into worship. And so God opens this door. Those who weren't permitted on earth are now allowed into this incredible heavenly moment. Does that sound funny to anybody? God could have appeared to anybody. He could have had this moment with anyone, but he chooses the lowest of the low. And then on top of that, Jesus comes, not as a high king that rules and reigns with an iron fist. No, he lowers himself to the point of being a servant. It's incredible. He doesn't come to the kings and queens. He doesn't come to the bold and the beautiful. He comes to the everyday person. The very group rejected by the world is the very group that's accepted by God and invited by him to come into this incredible moment. And on earth, peace, it says, because the angel knows no one gives peace like the Prince of Peace. We talk about marching for peace. We talk about looking or searching or just, I don't have peace. You can't go to the store to buy it. But Jesus comes on the scene and he says, no. I have a peace that this world can't give. The world can't give it. Well, clearly because it's not me. I'm the source of peace. I can calm your fears. I can get rid of all the emotional baggage and the hurts and the pains and all those things. I can bring healing to your life. I'm it. It's not this object or thing that you try to find. It's not this feeling that comes out of nowhere because you did A, B, and C. It comes through the person. And the hard, horrible reminder of this, or maybe it's a glorious one, this season, which Pastor Kathleen just talked about, when you lose someone, Thanksgiving's not the same. Christmas is not the same. 4th of July is not the same. Those family get-togethers are not the same because part of the family's not there anymore. And when that happens, it's almost like if the center view's a circle, you're like missing that pie-shaped piece because that person's not there. We're going on Christmas Day. We're going back to Kansas. It'll be great to go see family. And my mom has said it every time. Now I feel good. It's when all the kids, all the grandkids come together. For those that are going through a season for the first time without somebody, I'm sorry. It's not easy. I can't look you in the eye of all the, that I've had all the same experiences. But I think many of us can and say, I'm sorry. But there is one who can help in these moments. His name is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's the one that can bring wholeness to you again. He's the one that can bring you that peace that passes all understanding, as Paul says it. Oh, He is such a good God. So in junior high, we finished our meal, had our trays. We went and dumped our stuff, stacked our trays, went out the cafeteria door, and we're going to go outside. Right when we get to the exterior door, my buddy, he's like, oh no! He was frantic, and he goes running back to the cafeteria. We kind of jogged slowly behind him, not really knowing what was going on. It's kind of a funny moment to us. As soon as we get into the cafeteria and we could see him, my buddy dove right into the dumpster. And he is frantically searching for something. Anyone want to guess what my junior high friend was searching for? Retainer. Not a single one of us was willing to help him. He had ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise. It was nasty. And we're like, oh, dude. Oh, and he threw his retainer away with everything else. But man, that thing was valuable. He didn't care what he was going to get on himself. The filth, the rug, the garbage, the nasty. He went dumpster diving in. And so that's what I mean by Jesus came dumpster diving for us. He went through the filth. He went through the garbage. Oh, by the way, he went through the suffering. He went through the shame. He went through the most evil that you could ever imagine. He's been tempted just as we have been tempted. But like my junior high friend, but on an infinitely higher level, he says, but you're worth it. You're valuable to me. You're precious to me. I'll do whatever it takes for you. Oh, man. The shepherd's story reminds us that God comes for anybody. He came for everybody. He loves you. He is in hot pursuit of you. And he dove into this world. He left holiness, righteousness, splendor, and majesty, and glory. What? To be thrown on a cross? Because he says you're worth it. Man, it's incredible. So then we have to ask the question, though. So how do we respond to a dumpster diving God? Well, we follow the example of the shepherds. It says in verse 16, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. So number one, and we see that they hurried to Jesus. The word hurried literally is the word they sped. So they ran. They're quick about it. They put on their Usain Bolt edition sandals and hightailed it over to see Jesus. They didn't hesitate. They didn't wait. They didn't say, you know, that would be a lot more appropriate to do in the morning. It's kind of nighttime. This is a little inconvenient. No, they immediately responded. And I believe it was Randy Jewell that just shared this just a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, he's stealing my point, but he did a great job. The Bethlehem shepherds are the ones that take care of the sheep for sacrifices at the temple. So if you think about it, these guys hurry. They ran. They sped to Jesus, who, as John the Baptist proclaims, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Those guys are going to be out of a job here in a little while. Just a few decades later, it wasn't about convenience. It wasn't that, I better get my life right. I better get my things in order. Well, I just don't feel like I'm good enough yet. I got to wait until I feel good enough. I got to wait until I feel like I belong. I got to wait until I do all these religious things and check A, B, and C. They just immediately responded. They hurried to meet Jesus, number one. But then secondly, it says that they heralded. They told everyone they could about Jesus. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told of them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Do you find it, I don't know, a little, maybe a lot ironic? The very ones the world would not allow to witness in court, God chooses to witness to the world. That's ironic. The silenced ones are now shouting and proclaiming the good news of God. The loners are now the leaders of worship and praise, those who are not allowed to worship and praise. That's incredible. That's kind of how God works. God takes the weak, the lowly, to display his power and his goodness in and through them. So what about you? It says they were amazed at the story of the shepherds. They're amazed to hear what they were sharing. So on Tuesday, well, it's a one Tuesday night a month. And it just started in November for us of hosting it. Fellowship of Christian Athletes over at Pine Creek, I want to say. Anyways, right down Old Ranch Road. The high school kids come here one Tuesday night a month. Tim Ray's our connection for it. I'm so thrilled. I'm so thankful for him of that connection. It's incredible. Kids come in. They will grab a bite of pizza real quick, but they'll come on down in here into the auditorium. There's no Forrest Frank bebopping. There's no lights going on. There's no screens. There's no Christmas trees. There's no cool lighting effect that goes on. There's no glitz, no glamour. There's no pizzazz. They just have someone come and share, hey, this is what we're doing tonight. And they'll have a couple kids stand right here and they'll share their testimony. Either come into faith in Jesus or what Jesus is doing in their life right now. Sometimes they'll just read it word for word and they'll just read it off of a piece of paper. But it's incredible how powerful it is. We'll split. We'll go talk in different circles of small groups of kids about kind of the message, because there's a real quick devotional. I got my timer going. You will not see a single kid holding on to a phone the whole night. They're not playing. They're not doing whatever, I don't know, social media. They're glued in on whoever is sharing, and then they just fully participate. And when that kid shares their testimony, they go to come down these steps, and there is an incredible applause and celebration every time. Teenagers sharing of their need for Jesus, their love for Jesus, and how Jesus has transformed them. It's powerful. It is so beautiful. I'm thrilled that we just said, hey, you can use our building. Oh yeah, and by the way, I almost forgot. Tuesday night, we had 4 kids get baptized. Is that awesome or what? That was beautiful. Oh my goodness. And God's using their stories. God can use your story, your Jesus story of what he has done in your life. You don't know how impactful, how much it will sink in and grab the heart of others. So when's the last time someone heard your story? When's the last time that you were invitational, inviting somebody? So we're going to talk a little bit more about all the cards that are on all the seats at the end of the service. But will you invite? Will you share Jesus? Will you help make him known? If there's a way that I could summarize, because we don't use the word herald. No, it's a guy name. We don't use the word, oh, I heralded. I went and I told. We use different phrases. And so if I could just summarize all this in one little phrase, it's pretty simple. This Christmas, the shepherds remind us that we followed their example. And their example is what? Know Jesus, make him known. It's that simple. That God invites us in to know him and to make him known. That he came from the nobodies. He dumpster dove to give us peace. And like the shepherds, God invites you. He says, you belong. You belong to me. And so will you join him this day? As we close, what's your next step? Do you need to pray about who you're going to invite for Christmas Eve or invite to a group or to serve or whatever it may be? Perhaps it is just that, that you need to dive in further into getting a part of the body of Christ. It's to serve, it's to attend, it's to get in a group, whatever that may be. Or perhaps it's to invite Jesus right now. Will you invite him in? We can talk about that more at the end of the service. I'll be in the front. But let's go ahead and pray and respond to God however he's leading. Lord, we just thank you so much for valuing us. Thank you for invading this world because you were, I love that phrase, in hot pursuit of us. That Jesus, you dove in. God, we're so grateful. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you are God with us. Help us to not just know it intellectually, but to live it out as we follow your lead in our lives. Give us a heartbeat like the shepherds, a heartbeat to know you and make you known. It's in Jesus' name we pray.